Well, hello everyone, and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA. What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, you pouring anything special this morning?
Man, Dennis, no. I don't know if I should tell you. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. For everyone who doesn't, who might pick this up later, this is only the Tuesday edition that we tape. So if Dana's already interjecting here that there's a possibility there's something foreign substance
my
in her.
My word.
Foreign like substance like something made with agave or fermented for 10 to 12 years. I don't know.
Yes.
She's already had, has it been a long week already?
Oh man, already. And it's only like you said, it's Tuesday at 8:26.
Yes. Yeah, I know. You know, it's interesting because I just looked at I get the Wall Street Journal electric edition, you know, electronic edition by the web. And so I always try to put that up first on my web on my Internet Explorer here thing, Safari on my Mac. And it was talking about how major businesses I guess are having some internet disruptions. And it's funny because yesterday I just happened to go to my cigar shop, stop in for a little bit and visit with some people. And one of the guys who gets there, we call him Vacation Tom, because as he puts it, whenever he's at the cigar shop, he thinks of it as vacation time. Because, you know, otherwise he is a guy who works his butt off and probably doesn't need to anymore. Aww. He owned a very... but he owns a company that does some very exclusive type of manufacturing, and he got bought up by one of the major companies in that industry.
Oh, and man, so he was able to retire.
He could have if he wanted to, I'm sure. Okay. But he stays and he works, and he's the manager then. But what were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about he was saying how he got almost nothing done yesterday because the internet was out at his place.
Oh, man.
And it took him until after 8 o'clock to figure out that something went wrong on the internet service provider side.
I see.
Where it wasn't recognizing all the IP addresses from his company's building.
Got you.
So
there's no grand conspiracy that somebody is eating up all our bandwidth.
No.
No, okay.
Probably not. Well... Look, most conspiracies are conspiracies. You know, they just,
yes,
they're ways of putting together items here and there into what makes sense to us,
right?
On a global thing, but no, I don't think there is in this case.
All right, so he figured it out. It was his internet service provider.
Well, they figured it out for him because he doesn't have like an IT guy in house because it's not a big company.
Mm-hmm.
But as he was getting told all the what's going on and what things to check and all that when he was trying to get service. They figured it out finally late in the day and fixed it for him. So hopefully Vacation Tom, when he goes to work and becomes Work Tom, will have internet service once again.
All right. I like that. That's a cool nickname, Vacation Tom.
Yeah.
Man.
He's also one of the nicest, happiest guys when he comes in. Considering he's had to deal with some things lately, you know, seeing that no one else will know about him except for Mikey K, who listens to the show. Vacation Tom's house burned down like a month ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Made the news, I guess. He lives in the Pasadena area.
Okay.
So him and the wife, and he's got two daughters, and I think at least one of them are still at home because of the COVID stuff. She'd gone to college and all, but can work from home. Now all have to live out of a hotel
until they're able to find something new.
Well, Until they can rebuild, for one.
Oh, they're going to rebuild. Okay.
Or until they can find themselves like a house to lease, you know.
Okay.
For a while until they rebuild their other house. But, yeah, you know, dealing with things, you know, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, internet down and then that and then, yeah. So if anyone has a reason to be, you know, taking their morning drinks more seriously, Dana, we're not the only ones.
We're not. Is that?
But I don't know what kind of students you dealt with this morning either. So,
oh man,
I know, or yesterday in particular. So,
or other individuals.
That's true. You know, and when we talk about other individuals, it's funny you say that because that's kind of what drew me to draw up what we're going to talk about. Hopefully today during the show, I was thinking about. You know, a topic that maybe we really need to consider or reconsider as we're kind of returning to operating in the real world soon enough. Mm-hmm. And what it is, you know, the attentiveness or the attention that we've given to our communications with others. And I would say probably for most of us who are still working from home, most of those are probably emails. Maybe some texts, you know, between employees, you know, because some of you that works out well to get Absolutely. Quick things going or mm-hmm. check in on people, make sure they're, you know, they're going to, you know, swap counters, you know, stuff like that. I see a lot of that, you know, using things like Microsoft Teams, right?
We use other features like Microsoft Teams.
Yeah. And then we have this product, Cranium Cafe, which is our virtual counter for students. Uh-huh. But when your hour's over and the next staff member's got to get in, there's all that magic of how you do that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a good time then to talk about, you know, how we can shape up our communications as we get ready to return to the real world where maybe instead of emails, we go back to giving people a call or walk around the corner or take a little jog across campus or sometimes get in the car and actually go to meetings somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those days?
Really blowing my mind.
Yeah, remember those days?
Yeah. Oh, man. I just had a flashback. You just took me back.
Well, we were just talking about this at the financial aid directors meeting for our district, you know, so there's at least 9 schools and a director downtown, so that's 10 of mm-hmm. us. Plus, you know, between IT staff and other staff from the district, you know, 15, 20 people generally go to the meeting. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about, you know, come this June 15th when everything in the state's supposed to open up again. Will we go back to having an in-person meeting?
You know, that's going to be really interesting, like you said, because of these platforms that we have, mm-hmm. especially Zoom.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, yeah, when we talked about it, there are certainly some people even in that group, and it's not scarediness. It's just a matter of, well, do we need to go?
Yeah.
You know, there's some of them that live farther than others from the Absolutely. District office, and I understand mm-hmm. that. But I think there is a certain amount of camaraderie and attentiveness that you get when you're in person. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, nothing against the people who never share their video screens. But if you're in a group of 20-some people in a meeting, and a lot of it does mean you have to be attentive and or present.
Engaged.
Yeah. Engaged.
Uh-huh.
There's something lost sometimes, and you don't know if they are. Mm. You know, especially like, let's say Dana's screen was blank right now in the middle of a meeting, and I go, hey, Dana, what is your thought about something? And then you wait, and then you wait. And it's like, did she put in the chat, be right back? BRB, as everyone has probably seen a lot of BRBs and wondering.
Oh, yeah.
Breakfast burrito? I don't know. you know, it's one of those things. Are you really engaged? Do we know? So there, just a little of that as I was thinking of that, I thought maybe on this show we can talk about some of the books that I've probably mentioned before on the show, or you have, how we can, you know, again, after making it through all these last months, how we can make changes to make our lives better and maybe go back and look at, oh, I remember that email conversation with what's her name over in that office at took 12 rounds to get down to what we really wanted to talk about, you know, or why was I continually being replied all way after the fact that the problem was solved.
Mm, yeah.
I assume you've had a few of those, Dana.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to go deep into this today, but I want to just
We can really go deep on this.
Believe me, and then it'll just become one long tirade. It'll be like, why is Dennis ranting today?
I'll keep you on track.
Thank you. But here are the books that I know I talked about. There's a book called Eats, Shoots, and Leaves, The Zero Tolerance Approach to Punctuation. And just so if people, if you haven't seen this book, it's great. It's a little book. On the cover is some pandas. And if you think about it, what do pandas do? They eat shoots and leaves, you know, two different things they eat. But mm-hmm. if you throw a couple commas in there, it sounds like pandas eat, then they pull out a gun and shoot, and then they leave.
And then they leave.
So it might be that punctuation makes a big difference, everybody. So Eats, Shoots, and Leaves, A Zero Tolerance Approach to Punctuation by Lynn Truss. Another book, again, this is a pretty small book on its own, called Edit Yourself, A Manual for Everyone Who Works with Words by Bruce Ross Larson. Again, just a nice, simple book. Makes you consider some of the things you should do when you're writing, whether you're writing emails, letters, the old days of memos, now we're gone. But if you're writing long-form letters, or you're just going to be an author and write, how we should all take some time to think and look at and edit ourselves for clarity and other reasons. Another book, The Grammar Bible. This one's a real thick one. I only use this like a Bible in the sense that you refer to certain sections along the way.
Okay.
Or you know, while the Bible's so much longer, it certainly can be broken up a little piece every day. That much I know. Because I got one of those. I got one of those style Bibles. It's like Bible in a year or whatever they call it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, you know, it takes a, not to get religious, a New Testament, an Old Testament,
yeah.
and some Psalms. Mm-hmm. And just kind of breaks it out over the year.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is it keeps it in order. So,
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And it puts you on a schedule every yeah. day. My mom is actually doing it right now.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only problem I did is when I bought the book millions of years ago, I must have bought the book for good eyes because it's a tiny little book. That's, and it's a tiny little print. And I'm not saying my eyes yes. are going. I don't have wear glasses yet, everybody, and I don't quite need to, but
oh man, dude, you got like the
oh my gosh.
The 9 font, the yes. 10 font.
If
font.
I'm lucky, it's yes. a 9 or 8 font, tiny little print version. And of course, because it's tiny and you're talking about the Bible, uh-huh. it's printed on the super thinnest of papers. Now it doesn't yeah. rip, uh-huh. but it's just like, whew, you know, gets really loose. It's very
oh,
interesting.
Man, Dennis. So, yeah, we got to get you either large or extra large.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
But it's going to be like 50 pounds. Just getting.
No, I completely understand. Well, let me go through the other books here, and then we'll talk a little bit on the topic here. The other book was, and this I'll just bring up right away, the book Send, The Essential Guide to Email for Office and Home by David Shipley and Will Schwabe. Remember, Dana, sometime during the summer, and we may have talked about it on the show, we did a little email etiquette training.
We did training, yeah.
With our campus for student services. It was kind of partly because it came out of, I think, some focus groups or student surveys that we had some, I'm going to say this nicely, some issues in the way some people either used email.
Oh, you're being very nice, sir. Very
I'm trying nice. To be. Used email properly or improperly?
Improperly. Still yeah. do.
You know, and so they're having some problems with that. And so we made some whole training out of this. And really, it's a pretty good book in the sense that it dives into things like what's the right type of email or what's the type of email you're trying to send? The six mm-hmm. essential types. The right. ask, when you're asking a question. The answer, when you're providing an answer. The groveling one, which was an interesting one to call it. But, you know, when you basically have to respond and say, I'm sorry for this or I apologize for something, how do you word that? The purely informational one or the instructive one. So there's, and then there's another one or two in there. But there's six. But it's a great book. We'll talk maybe a little bit about that in our second cup time. Last two books, The Tyranny of Email, The 4,000-Year Journey to Your Inbox by John Freeman.
I like that title.
It's a good read. And again, I read these kind of things for myself when I can see or know that there is definitely a kernel of truth or more in there, because I know myself how I see it this way. You know, so if someone else is writing a book of the tyranny of email, and I may have used that phrase myself beforehand, I fully agree.
Yes, me too. And I haven't even read the book, but yes, I agree.
Yeah. And then the last book was called Unsubscribe, How to Kill Email Anxiety, Avoid Distractions, and Get Real Work Done by Jocelyn Glei, G-L-E-I. I think that's how she says her name. Tie some of this all together about looking at the psychology of emails as far as how we get them, read them, toss them to the side, or how we use them to communicate back to people. Or sometimes we certainly use emails against other people. So,
That's a good one.
But I got an idea. Why don't we play a little music and explore some of all this in the next segment?
You got it. And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
That's right. Hey, Dana, can you step up closer to your microphone? You're starting to fade away.
How's that?
A little bit better. We lost a little volume on you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're better, so you're good.
All right.
We'll fix all that in post-production. Or actually, we'll just fix it for the next show. But just starting off on some of this, I think of a couple key areas that we really could help, or people could really focus on, which is, again, when you receive emails, there's the whole sorting aspect to it, and I think that relates to some books that we aren't talking about today. Things like Getting Things Done by David Allen is probably one of the main authors about how you handle things. And some of the basics to it is, emails or tasks are, if you get one, if you can respond to it in like less than a minute or something like that, that you do so. You just get it done. For all other things, maybe you decide if you need to respond to it at all. Mm. Let's say it's informational. I get the NASFA news daily. I get our FSA Partner Connect email daily and an email at the end of the week as a weekly summary. So if I can get off the daily one, I will. And I'll just get the weekly one, because it's not something that I have to respond to. But maybe having rules set up in your Outlook or whatever email program to pre-sort those things.
Absolutely.
Send it right to the folder for reading. Mm-hmm. And then look at that folder later. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, no, I have several folders like that.
Okay.
And like you said, they're organized beautifully. And then when you're ready to get to them and read them, there you go.
Exactly. So you don't even have to deal with them in your inbox. So there's the focusing of the sorting, the folders, and all that kind of action on its own. Then it's what we do when, again, when you get an email, you're going to respond to it right away, read it later, or possibly because it's going to require some research or some other work, or literally sometimes just some time to think about it. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that then? And then also put it into your tasks or otherwise. Because again, I'm not going to say what I do is perfect, but I'm like you, use the folders. And so I literally have two-step folders. I have the one that says waiting to review, and then the one that literally, I use the word taskized. I know it's not a word, but they've been taskized, which means that I've got them linked to my actual task management software I use.
Oh, okay.
So my to-do list, or I should say that what I like to use, and I'm sure is a book title I'm either going to write or has been written, which is my Outlook inbox is not my to-do list. And that's how I feel about it, because not all my work is emails.
Absolutely. Because Dennis, how many emails do you average a day?
It's at least 50. And probably closer to 100, probably.
See? And then like you said, so you need a system to be able to filter that stuff out.
Exactly. So it is, and it's also a matter that I'll get emails from every corner of the world, right? Mm-hmm. I'll get it from my boss. I'll get it from our boss, which is really the financial aid supervisor of the office. I'll get it from people downtown. I'll get it from other financial aid directors. I'll get stuff from my position as president of the association, stuff from the Soon Aid Commission, stuff from the chancellor's office. It comes from every corner. And fellow staff, too. And it's easy enough, you know, when you're on email, that even if you don't report to me, I just send you something that I need something, and you suddenly think that it's a top requirement. And sometimes it's not. It just isn't. Mm-hmm. And so I will, you know, depending upon my workload, sometimes you have to tell people appropriately, I'm not going to be able to get what you're going to need right away.
Right, because it's not a... Do you say not a priority, or how would you word that?
Oh, I would never use those words. Even though that's what it means.
That's what it means. You have to talk in code, huh?
No, sometimes it's a matter of I will need to, you know, check with other people.
Oh, sometimes that's good.
Because what I'll get are these requests from campus, and it could be my boss, it could be someone in another department going, I need certain statistics on financial aid for some report. And it's a lot of times it has to deal with people who have different federal or state grants. Not student aid, but like they got a $500,000 grant to establish a student support service office for low-income students from a non-traditional background or something like that. And so it's part of their grant writing or sometimes their reporting they do yearly. They need some statistics. And usually it ends up being stuff that is much more complicated than me, a non-data intrusive type of person or intensive data type of person, not easily can put together. You know, it's like, how many students applied for aid? How many got aid? How many students of this and this and this breakdown got aid? And some of this information, you know, doesn't exist easily in our student information system, or, you know, stuff that's like when do most students apply for aid, and what's the breakdown over the year, you know? So that kind of stuff, sometimes I guess I have to say, I don't have a data person. I can't get it for you. Get you something else? Or they want to know about success rates and stuff like that. And again, if it isn't calculated in a report already and I have to take two or three or four reports and put them together, there's just some limitations on how fast you're going to get that. So
absolutely.
We do what we can, but how do you communicate that properly? Yes, that can be a little bit of work. So that, I think, is going to change quite a bit as we do return to the real world, because then you'll be able to talk to people directly or use phones, because, again, we're away from our office phones. And if I haven't made it clear enough on this show, I've certainly done during all my meetings with people on campus, we don't have a phone solution and never had one for these last 14 to 15 months. You know, we got our main numbers covered by let's say a product that's maybe named like Google Voice or something, you know, just something common like that. That takes care of it. But the rest of our phones have kind of gone dead. So, you know, our voicemails can be picked up out of our emails, but that's about it. You know, we're not easily communicating by phone, which might've been my first way to get a hold of like some of our counselors on campus. When I get stuff from them now by email, and I need to respond back, and I need a quick answer, I'd call them. Now I have to email them. Now I got to make certain, am I clear in what I'm asking? So, you know, that's kind of what the whole crux of this show was today, was about being clear. And really, I think the bottom line, my biggest advice is I have down here, Dana, you see on our screen, reread your stuff, everybody.
My word.
Right? Reread. Yes. And I mean everything. Reread who you're sending it to. So even the simplest of things like thank yous, that's a great idea, and stuff like that. If you're in a big group, really consider, does the whole group need to see 17 thank yous for somebody who came up with something?
Are you speaking from experience, sir?
Maybe I saw it in a movie. But truly, think about the other people on the other line. You know, this is why some people get sent straight to a folder called confinement.
Oh, wow.
In my emails.
Mine is supermassive black hole.
There you go. You've got one too.
Yes.
Because again, you know, when these people respond, all they're doing is they're responding thank yous and stuff like that. Yes. So think about from top to bottom, reread. I can't tell you how much more time I spend now over these last 15 months of rereading emails before they go out the door.
I'm the same way, Dennis. Like, and I do, I'll spend maybe a little bit more time than I should, you know, first of all, reading and interpreting the email. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, writing the email, sometimes even, you know, getting a little anxious.
Sure.
You know, I'll calm myself down or whatever. But anyways, and like you said, just rereading it, make sure the spelling is correct. Make sure I spell the people's names right. Even though there's one individual that for some reason I can't spell his name right.
Yes, he knows who he is. He doesn't probably listen to the show. But
I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
Poor Mr. Alvizio, whose first name is the part that gets messed up from our district office. Yes. But yes, I mean, you're right. It's not just... It's the grammar. It's the usage.
All that.
It's the length. You know, I mean, sometimes my emails do have to be longer, but I make certain that everything is laid out in a good way that gets across exactly what all I want, hopefully all in one email alone. Because, again, you know, I some of the editing just shortens things, but the other thing is I tend to be, and I know Microsoft Word catches me on this when I'm typing letters, I tend to use way too much passive stuff.
Oh, I see.
It would be good if we could do this instead of just saying,
same
let's
here.
Do this. And so
mine is please. Can you please this, please? And then like you said, something, and then I'll have like five pleases in one sentence. I'm like, Dana, cut that out. Like,
exactly.
The point. Yeah.
And again, you don't want to take away from the point. You know, you got to make your case. You do have to be careful. Again, there is something we didn't cover directly in here, but Jocelyn Gley in her book talked about how negative bias gets introduced to our emails, whether you like it or not. Mm. And most likely when it's not even true. In other words, Dana sends an email. She's edited it. It reads fine. Dana reads it with the smile on her face that she has. And somewhere along the line, someone who gets it reads it and says, why is Dana mad with me? Why is she demanding all this from me?
My goodness.
Has none of that... in it at all in reality, but it's email. It loses it along the way. And again, the other thing could be is if Dana is the 99th email I've read this morning, am I going to take it that Dana was really happy when she sent it? Or is this just another person sending me another email that I got to read and I got to respond to? So we got to take that all into account, everybody. So the big thing, reread your stuff from top to bottom, do a little editing. If your email ends up a little shorter than normal, all the better. If it ends up a little longer so that you can get your point across, if you need something done, don't be wishy-washy about it. Those are probably the worst of all emails. The ones that you can't figure out, am I being asked to do something? When I probably am?
Yeah, that defeats the purpose, yeah.
That or if you ask a group of 20 people for responses, unless you're very specific and it's something that I can do for you easily, I may not be able to get back to you. Once in a while, we get this with our financial aid directors across the state. Somebody wants to know, 16 different data points about how many students applied for aid, how many staff you have, what system you use, what's the last update you've done on it, how do you process loans, how do you do... I don't have time for this kind of response, you know? I don't know if anyone else does. Even in 100-some schools, you may have to be a little more pointed or find a different direction for getting that information. So, Dana, I think we're just going to have to leave off right there and move our way into the last part of the show. And we're back for our last zip segment, everyone. We had to get out of that before this show ran 3 hours long.
Yeah, because you know what? I thought I was going to have to rein you in, but you got
it. No, I think I got across the biggest part.
I think you did too.
You know, if we're going to return to work, hopefully shift out of doing emails all the time.
Right.
We should still, though, right now as we are, whatever wherever we are out there, for those out there on the, listening, back in the office, still working from home, doing a little of both, and maybe having our employees do a little of both, take some time to look at your emails, you know, readdress it. And again, if anyone thinks that it's Dennis, now if there's Dennis has negative, you're putting negative bias into what I'm saying because you've sent me an email or something, please know it's probably not you. And even if it is, I don't hold that ever against anyone. I guess, I, like anything else, whether they are student employees, regular employees of mine, or people I work with, all I want us to do is all, you know, be more cognizant of how we communicate so that we can be more effective at communicating. So many of the other books that I have on my shelf behind me somewhere are just on that topic, and I've certainly talked about them today. And in fact, I'm going to make that, Dana, before you go, my I dare you to is maybe look at the books that we'll put into our show notes that I talked about today, or at least just go out and buy some books about communications or any book. Go out and get a real book, everybody. Go to a bookstore while you can. Dana, you got any I dare you to's?
Actually, I'm just going to co-sign on what you're saying, because these, you know, books have a wealth of information, and it's just one way to, you know, further establish us as amazing, badass email senders.
That I'm going to go with you on that. That sounds really nice. I like that. Yeah. So everyone can get in on this gig.
Yes.
And improve their communications. And Dana, just like that, who knew we're at the end of the show, but we have more shows to come. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 97, recorded the morning of Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. Have a great day, everybody.
And have a great week.